Hello and welcome or welcome back. I'm Kathy Lisco with the Center for Coaching Certification. Information management. This is a challenge for coaches in business for themselves, and it's a challenge for coaches working inside of organizations. What are the considerations? Starting with an internal coach, most companies will have policies in place for how information is handled. There are very clear parameters around who has access to what. HR departments will be protective of employee records and files. Interestingly enough, the coaching code of ethics goes even further. For example, in the ethics interpretive statements, an example is shared. An internal coach was working with a client. The manager of that client asked the coach about what was being discussed, what was happening. The coach informed the manager, "Well, that's confidential information. I cannot share that with you." The manager went to the IT department and had the level of authority to ask the IT department to get the notes off the computer. The IT department followed their protocols, got the notes off the computer, and gave them to the manager. The confidentiality was violated, and it was the coach whose code of ethics called on them to protect the confidentiality that was violating confidentiality. So what records are kept and where they are kept is an essential component of how a coaching program is planned and managed. Very specifically, the International Coaching Federation Code of Ethics includes several points around this. Point number three says, maintain the strictest levels of confidentiality with all parties as agreed upon. I am aware of and agree to comply with all applicable laws that pertain to personal data and communications. It goes on to say, number four, have a clear understanding about how information is exchanged among all parties involved during all coaching interactions. It does tell us when there are exceptions in number five, specifically if there's illegal activity, if it's required by law, there's a court order, a subpoena, imminent or likely risk of danger to self or others. These are exceptions to confidentiality. It also talks in number seven about record keeping, specifically saying maintain, store, and dispose of any records, including electronic files and communications created during my professional interactions, in a manner that promotes confidentiality. Coaches are called upon to very carefully protect the confidentiality of the information shared by a client. Sometimes in organizations, they want to have information on, hey, what is happening in this coaching conversation? And it is a confidential conversation. One option for addressing that is for the coach and the client to partner and co-create a report of what information will be shared. It is essential that the client give permission for specific information to be shared. As an example, create a table, list the goals, list the action steps, put notes about progress, how it's going, and that can be shared. Ideally, it is the client who is sharing that with their manager or sponsor, the person in the organization arranging for the coaching. Alternatively, they very specifically give the coach permission to share that. In that way, the information that is shared is cleared by the client, it's selected, while still protecting other pieces of the conversation that are very confidential. It is important that there be a conversation about how this is going to be managed before you start. One consideration with this is note-taking. Different coaches have different philosophies in terms of taking notes. For example, some coaches believe that the coach should not take any notes. They think if the coach is taking notes, they're not truly present to the client. Other coaches believe the exact opposite, that if the coach isn't taking notes, they're not truly present to the client. It depends on the coach. Some coaches find they listen better without notes. Some find they listen better with notes. It's also important to have a conversation about this with the client. For example, some people in the coaching world say, well, if the coach is taking notes, they're doing the client's job. It's supposed to be the client's responsibility. And other coaches say, if the coach isn't taking notes, then they're not giving the client the opportunity to do the work. Because if the client has to stop their thinking or interrupt it so they can write something down, it gets in the way of them doing the work. Again, different philosophies. Ultimately, the coach has got to figure out what their skill set is, how they listen and how they listen deeply and how they stay present to the client. They've got to have a conversation about that note-taking, what's going to serve the client, how it's going to be done and handled and managed and shared. They want to talk about where those records are going to be kept, how long they're going to be kept. And these are important pieces of the conversation. On a personal level, I find that if I take notes, it's better for me in terms of listening and being present. And most often, not always, it is better for my client because I truly free them up to stay with their own thinking because they know I'll capture those key ideas or concepts that they come up with. Do I write every word down? No, of course not. I capture their key concepts and email that to them. And because they know that's coming, they can continue thinking and brainstorming and strategizing, and it keeps them moving forward, doing the work. We have a conversation about this, and we talk about where those notes are kept. We talk about when they get shared and how they get shared. For example, because I'm an external coach, I'm taking notes on my own device. In terms of sharing them with the client, I have a conversation with them. If I email those notes to the client on their company email address, the company owns the information. And so it's a problem in terms of confidentiality. Alternatively, when I have a conversation with the client and we discuss that, they have the option of saying, oh, send it to me on a different email address. As a caveat to this, do be thinking about your alternatives. Sometimes coaches use options like Google Docs or Dropbox. It's important to look at the privacy policy because you are giving access to that information to others by using those platforms. So check that out and talk about it with the client. Make sure everybody is comfortable with what the process is. The additional consideration is how long the notes are kept. Interestingly enough, when we ask this of students, the answers range anywhere from not at all to forever in terms of keeping the notes. Here's what I find. There is value in keeping them for a short period of time after the engagement ends because clients often come back. When you hit a certain length of time after the coaching engagement, those notes have less and less value because circumstances change for people. Commonly, coaches talk about keeping them from 0 to 6 months after the coaching relationship is open, sometimes as long as 12 months after it's over, and then destroying those notes. As a coach, what that means for you is having a process where you're checking and following through. If your agreement with the client is that you're destroying those notes in 6 months, how are you ensuring that that's happening? That 6 months later, you are destroying those notes. in addition to the considerations for an internal coach being the company devices, they are considerations for external coaches. Now, for an internal coach, this can become more challenging. Do you have your own device or computer? And if not, as an alternative, using paper and pen to take notes or consider not taking notes. The options, again, are there. It's up to you to figure out what serves everyone best, in particular the client best, and you being effective as a coach, and also being really clear on where that information is kept. It does mean taking notes about what the client says during a coaching conversation on a company device is inappropriate. You're failing to protect the confidentiality of that client. It's essential that we're clear on that. Do plan what information is exchanged. An additional caveat to that consideration is sometimes when you work with a company, that's the sponsor, and you're going to coach an employee, that's the client, the sponsor is giving you information. And you actually have to check with the sponsor on what information can be shared and get the sponsor's permission. It is fairly common for a sponsor to bring in a coach saying, this is what we want addressed with this person. As the coach, it then means having the conversation with the sponsor. First off, do I have permission to share that with the client? And second off, if the client chooses to work on something else, it is the client's choice. And the company's going to have to be aware of that. Because if the sponsor says, no, you're only allowed to talk about this, then I can't take that engagement because my responsibility is to the client. It is their choice how they want to move forward, what they want to focus on. If the company says, we want you to work on A, and the client says, well, I want to work on B, what I can do as coach is say to the client, the company gave me permission to share with you, they want you to work on A. What happens if you address that? What happens if you don't? And again, go back to the client, what do you want to do? So you can explore it. It's ultimately their choice. We talked about confidentiality and keeping with our ethics, and we're talking about it here in keeping with how we manage our records. How is this so important? Well, think about it for yourself. Imagine working with a coach and wondering whether or not what you say is going to be shared somewhere else. If you're not sure, you're going to filter yourself. And if you're filtering yourself, it's going to hold you back from fully exploring something, fully identifying potential opportunities or possibilities, what might get in the way, possible strategies, and developing your own plan for moving forward because there are unaddressed concerns or issues. Confidentiality is essential, and coordinating how note-taking is managed is equally essential. Once you have that in place, it goes back to how long you're taking or keeping those notes. The average coaching relationship, according to ICF, is going to last a year. Many coaching engagements start with a commitment to a minimum number of sessions. That actually makes sense because coaching is a process and it takes time. We're not going to change the world in one conversation. Can one conversation have an impact? Absolutely. It can have a profound impact. So whatever the agreement in terms of how long the relationship continues, keep in mind that as coaches, one of our duties and responsibilities is to ensure that the coaching is providing value. So if it's serving the client, we continue. Even after a minimum commitment to a number of sessions, there is the possibility of continuing that coaching engagement. And it goes back to ensuring that there is value, that it is supporting that client in what they're doing and moving them forward. When the engagement does end, be clear on your agreement for how long you're keeping notes at that point. Are you destroying them when it ends? Are you, hey, the client's got them all, we're good? Are you keeping them for 3 months, 6 months? What's going to happen? And whatever you agree to, it's up to the coach to follow through on that. Note-taking can be a valuable tool and resource in a coaching engagement when it's set up properly and when it works for everybody involved. I'm Kathy Liska with the Center for Coaching Certification. Come visit us at www.coachcert.com. Make it a great one.